Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com. Welcome back to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And on this week's show, Bob, the big show, we're talking about being overwhelmed.
I'm completely overwhelmed at work, Jed.
Oh, my goodness. So yeah. We'll talk a little bit about how we might deal with that if you're feeling that way yourself. But before we get to that, more viewer mail.
Yeah. This is amazing. I had no idea. I thought I was the only sort of, you know, accountant finance type that listened to this podcast. And even I don't listen to them that often. Okay, that was a joke. No, we had C. Spreu. I don't really know how we say that, so my apologies to this individual. As an accountant, touchy-feely stuff isn't my strong suit, but these podcasts with their three things to focus on is really insightful. So it kind of figures that an accountant would like those three things because you can count them.
Is that what we do, is touchy-feely stuff?
I don't know. But anyway, we're glad that it's helpful, so thank you for that feedback.
All right, on to overwhelmed. What's the agenda? How are we going to tackle this topic today?
Well, very simply, Jed, we're going to look at the symptoms of overload, if you might be, although you probably know anyway, but we'll throw some symptoms out there anyway. And then we'll talk about three steps to overcoming overload, and we'll leave you three things to remember. So we have two lists of three on this one to further excite the accountants in the listening audience.
The counting accountants. All right, let's talk about what are some of the symptoms. How do you know I think you know it just by feeling it, but let's maybe identify some of those feelings.
Yeah, that's right. If you're having notions of suicide, but the more directly, when you're at work, if you're continually working outrageous hours. So I'm not talking about when there's a special project or something weird going on, or if you're an accountant, for an example, year end, right? So I'm not talking about extraordinary circumstances. I'm talking day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. You're working stupid hours. You may be overloaded at work, right? So if you're continually missing deadlines, and again, it's just a volume thing to get things across the finish line, then that could be a symptom of overload. If you find yourself, you've got this ridiculously long list of things you have to get done,
right?
But you still can't manage to take the first step on any of these things. You're avoiding, you're feeling, you know, completely overwhelmed. It's sort of like when you walk into, you go to clean your garage or your attic out, and it's so overwhelming, you don't know where to even start. That paralysis as you get, you may be overloaded. Or finally, and probably most significantly, if you've got, if you're really not feeling healthy, right? And whether that be physically or mentally, you got to, you know, it's different for every person, of course, but if you're really not feeling in a good space, right, then it may be due to work overload.
All right. So there's some tendencies to watch out for. And you got even more good news that you wanted to share.
Yeah, this is one of those upbeat,
Man, you're Debbie Downer today.
Yeah, cheerful podcast today. So here's the bad news. The bad news is that if you're feeling this way, here comes bad news number one. It's your fault, okay? This is often a self-imposed condition, and people really regret and resent, and I've been thrown out of people's offices before for making this suggestion. But the reality is that, you know— and,
as well as other things.
Well, yeah, it's just really they're looking for an excuse to throw me out. But the reality is that your organization may not be making this any easier for you. The organizations do impose pressure on people to get things done. But nevertheless, this is often a self-imposed condition. Right? So you need to think very hard about what sort of pressure you're putting on yourself that gets you to arrive in this place. Part and parcel with that is that you need to do something differently, right? So I don't know about, you know, I often use the line when I go into somebody's business, you know, I'm not here to tell you how to run your business. I do know one thing, right? If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep feeling exactly the way that you're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling overwhelmed now, just keep doing what you're doing. And that's a guarantee that it'll perpetuate. Right. And so finally, you need to solve this. You are the one that needs to do something different. So don't think that your boss or the HR group or, you know, the larger organization is going to come in and change this for you. You need to do something differently. So that's a good news, bad news story. The good news is you probably have control over a lot of the things you can do to fix it. The bad news is you're going to have to break yourself out of your cycle to do something different.
And I've met very few bosses and certainly very few organizations that expect this out of people, right? I've been to lots of talent reviews where we're talking about the broader talent in the organization. And,
right.
And I can't think of one time where I've heard somebody say, you know what I like about Bob? He works 75 hours a week. He's here till 8 o'clock every night. That's what we like about Bob. Let's promote him.
Right. And you know what? If you talk to good leaders, senior leaders in the organization, they actually almost view it with suspicion.
Yeah.
Right. So you got somebody that's working ridiculous hours. One of the things I've heard before, which I happen to think is true, is that, okay, what is that person compensating for? right? What are they trying to make up for, right? You know, again, I'm not talking about an exceptional project where you have to work real hard to get something across the finish line. But if, again, if it's a consistent thing, then that may be viewed with suspicion in the organization that you're somehow not competent to get it done in a reasonable amount of time. And so you're trying to compensate.
Yeah. All right. Well, Debbie Downer, now that you've got us all in this really sad spot, let's see if we can help bring them back up again. So there are things you can do about it.
Yep. Right. So
Let's talk about the first one. So there's you're suggesting that we need to do a little analysis and figure out where our time is going currently.
Yeah, you know what? This is actually really a powerful exercise that very few people do often enough. I try to do it personally once a year. And it's a great chance to recalibrate because, you know, you get into a routine, you get doing what you're doing, and you don't think critically about it often enough. So I'm challenging everybody out there to pick a period of 2 weeks. And again, if you're an accountant and it's year end, don't pick those 2 weeks, but pick a sort of normal 2 weeks, right? And I know there's no normal anymore, but nevertheless, as normal as possible, pick a 2 week period and audit your time. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, in painstaking lawyer-like 6 minute increment detail. I'm talking about the way I do it is I work from whenever I start in the morning till whenever I go for lunch. And at lunchtime, I spend no longer than 2 minutes saying, okay, what did I do this morning in roughly half hour increments? All right. Okay. And then I do the same thing again at the end of the day. So I spend no longer than, say, 3 or 4 minutes a day trying to track my time. Right. And I do that for a period of 2 weeks. And now it's really important here that you don't lie to yourself. Right. Because it's really easy to get into that and rationalize and say, well, I spent 5 hours on email today. Right. But during that 5 hours, I was really working on this thing and this thing and this thing. Okay. It's rationalization. It's not going to do you any good. Okay. Don't lie to yourself. Try to do this well.
All right, so just objectively record your time for a period of 2 weeks.
Yes, as best you can. And normally the output of that is as you go, uh-oh, right? Yeah, I had no idea I was spending, you know, 15 hours a week doing email, right? Or I had no idea that, wow, I might be at work 12 hours a day, but 6 hours of those I spent doing coffee or standing around the water cooler talking to somebody, right?
Okay, so audit your time, figure out where your time is going, then go back through that list and figure out where are your time wasters that you could use more productively to help hopefully get you more under control and feeling less overwhelmed.
Right.
All right, cool. Another one you want to talk about with that was scheduling priorities.
Right. So the accountants will love this part. So I'm doing a basic gap analysis here. What's your as-is state? What is your desired state? And then let's bridge the gap, right? So part two is that ruthlessly –
easy for you to say.
Yeah. Ruthlessly schedule your priorities, okay? So this is – first thing you got to do is figure out what your priorities actually are, okay? Right. So people often don't do this. And the second thing you need to do is once you figure out your priorities is, you know, go tell your boss what you think your priorities are because he or she may have a different – you know, version of that. So beware, right? Mm-hmm. So interestingly, you know, we've challenged Jed, you and I've been out there and we've challenged people, you know, show us your priorities. And they come back with this list of like 75 things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what? If you got more than about half a dozen, those aren't priorities, babe. That's a laundry list you got there.
Yeah. And you're never going to get ahead and you're never going to get any of those things done with any quality.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. So figure out what the limited number of things that you need to do this year to be successful are, and then go talk to your boss about that and make sure that he or she has the same version of what they think is important, right? So figure that out. Okay.
And we usually suggest somewhere between 3 and 7.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. If you've got fewer or more than that, then you got to take a real serious look at it. Okay. So then what you got to do is you need to schedule in those priorities first, right? So this is Stephen Covey 101, right? So, you know, put your big rocks in first is what he would tell you. And I absolutely agree. So, you know, again, if I say, well, what have you done against your priorities this week? And you say, well, I was too busy to tackle my priorities. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to schedule those things right into your schedule. And in order to do so, you need to block time in your calendar for these things. You may, in fact, need to close the door from time to time. Maybe it's even an hour or two a day. Where you're closing your door, right? People say, well, I want to have an open door policy and be available to my people. That's real good, except that if it's a revolving door there and you never get anything done, then it doesn't do any good because they're going to fire you anyway. So you're going to be the most available boss, you know.
Without a job.
Yeah, one final thing around this priority stuff is that remember that email actually isn't work, right? I think we did a whole podcast on that at one point or other, but people mistake email for work because it looks and feels like work, but it's actually not.
Excellent tip. And the last thing we wanted to challenge folks with in terms of, you know, helping yourself get out of this overwhelmed kind of feeling is pushing back on demands.
Right. So this is part and parcel with understanding what your priorities are and acting against those things, right? So, but most specifically, when we talk about demands that others of the organization makes on you, there's a few things that we throw out there. The first one is that question the value of every single meeting, right? Because the meetings beast is eating a lot of organizations whole. So the second thing is you need to make sure that you remember we told you to do those priorities. Well, everything you do needs to be filtered through those priorities. So again, if you're you know, having requests made of you, and even if it's from your boss, right? So you and your boss have already gone. You've had some sort of agreement on what your priorities are, and then there's other stuff that she's feeding down the pipe to you. Say, well, you know, guess what? I don't see how these relate to my priorities. It gives you the basis for a really good discussion. Now, it doesn't mean you know, she's the boss. You may end up doing those things anyway, but at least you've had a very robust discussion about, okay, that thing that you just sent down to me doesn't seem to jive with the priorities that you and I agreed upon. So let's have a discussion about that. Right.
Yeah, and if, like you say, you might not always win that argument, but you're in a position to negotiate a little bit with your boss. Say, okay, I get it. I'll pick that up. But this other thing that is on my priority list, understand that's going to be delayed by a month.
Right. Right. The other thing I mentioned, closing your door at certain times. I talked about that already. Make sure that you ask for help where appropriate, right? So if there's no chance you're going to get something across the finish line in time, you need to talk to somebody about that, preferably the person that gave you the assignment. Right.
Yeah.
And finally, delegate where possible. You know, so again, a lot of managers hold on to stuff that they know they shouldn't be doing, but they like doing it. Right.
Sure.
So you may have to let some of those things go. So take a look around at what you can get others to do. One of the things we see out in organization is well overworked managers and well underutilized people an awful lot of the time.
No doubt. And we did a full podcast on that actually some time ago, Bob, on delegating, which obviously relates closely to the topic of today's cast.
You bet.
We also did another one on time and priority management. We've done some on objective setting, which is a lot about determining what your priorities are. And if none of this is working, we did another podcast on how to quit that might eventually be helpful perhaps.
Yeah, see, we're just here to support you, right? We'll teach you how to quit, if nothing else. Yeah. So, and all those are available back at our website. You can go in and pick those off at any time.
Right on. All right, let's for today's topic, let's see if we can put a bow on it with three things.
Three things. Well, here they are. Number one is that only you can fix this. So we're going right back to where we started. Okay.
Yep.
So again, if you want to keep feeling overwhelmed, just keep doing what you're doing. It's guaranteed. You don't get many guarantees from the Wiley Manager guys. This is one.
All right. Number two.
Know what your top priorities are and make sure you get agreement on those things. Okay. So if you don't have an organizational mechanism in place for sorting out priorities every year, do it on your own. Write them on a sheet of paper, back of a napkin, whatever works for you, and go to your boss and say, okay, these are the half dozen things I think are really important this year. Oh, and by the way, these are the things that are going to determine what activities and actions I take.
All right. Excellent. And number three.
You may have to give up some stuff you like, right?
Uh-oh.
So again, as managers, we all... You know, I was just talking about this. We all take stuff into our next leadership role that we kind of really like doing. It's a bit of a comfort blanket,
yep.
Right? It's something that I like. Sometimes it's escape. It's something we do particularly well or we particularly enjoy. You may have to give up some of those things.
These exercises will involve trade-offs at some point in time.
Yes, they will.
All right, awesome. Now, I would remind folks, too, that back at the Wiley Manager website, we have a bunch of cheat sheets that we've pulled together. Each one of our podcasts comes with its own cheat sheet. We've bundled about 40 of them together and have them in a nice little PDF that's free for you to go download. So that's at www.wileymanager.com. So go check that out.
Right on. And don't be afraid to communicate and reach out to us either, because we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter, we're everywhere.
Let us know what you think. Let us know what questions you have or challenges that you maybe would hope that we might address in upcoming podcasts.
Right on. Very good. All right, Jed, we'll see you soon.
Adios, Bob. Hey, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.